It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
All right. Welcome to Money for Lunch. A lot of stuff happening today in the sunny state of Arizona. We have, we call it ICON, which is, who is that? Infusionsoft is having a two-day event here in Phoenix called ICON, teaching us all how to market better. And I'm going to be out there today and tomorrow, so it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. Now, I wanted to talk about this real quick, and that is how we feel is more important than what we know. How we feel is, it determines our decisions. It determines everything we do, right? So if you're feeling tired, you make different decisions than when you're feeling full of energy. If you're feeling, let's say that you have a lot of confidence, you're going to make different decisions, right? So how you feel determines your success in that moment. So how do you feel? Now, how we feel is determined by our thoughts. And that and our thoughts are determined by our questions or by our self-talk. You with me on that? You feel me, my brothers and sisters? So how do you feel? How do you feel, and what are you doing to correct that? So it's never so good it can't get better. It's never so bad it can't get worse. So how you feel is more important than what you know. Another example of that, I'll show you an extreme example, is, you know, people who smoke cigarettes. There isn't a smoker out there, at least in the U.S. and probably in Canada and in the U.K., that doesn't know that smoking is horrible for them, right? That it's just the worst thing you can do to your body. So why do people still smoke? Because you can say, oh, they're addicted to it. Yeah, but what got them to go through all the pain of learning how to smoke? Going through all the pain to allow smoking to feel good to them, natural to them, right? It's not an easy process. So people who smoke or start smoking want to feel accepted. They want to feel loved. They want to be part of the team. And that's why they pick up smoking. And they pick up smoking because of the questions or thoughts or conversations in their head that leads them down the path that, man, if I become a smoker, I can be at the cool kids table. I can be like my peer group. I will be accepted. I will be loved. I will be one of them. That's the real reason people smoke. Now, they might tell you other things, but that's the real reason. Now, I have an exception to that. And I don't know if it's a valid exception. I have heard it more than once. So I've surveyed thousands of smokers. And I had a couple of military people that I interviewed years apart, and they both told me they started smoking so they could get a break. Because smokers got smokers' breaks. And so they started smoking so they could take a break from their job on the base, which is a ridiculous mindset, right? I mean, that to me is just goes to show you how we feel is more important than what we know. So you know, you, me, everybody, we can determine our level of success by the questions we ask ourselves and the conversations that we, questions we ask ourselves and the conversations we have with ourselves. For example, look, if you're always asking yourself, why am I running late all the time, then you're always going to be running late. Do you get me on that? However, if you change the conversation or the question and you say, every day I'm managing my time better, or I really enjoy showing up early, then you start to show up early. You start to make that a focus. Your subconscious mind starts making things happen to help you get there on a timely basis. Does that make sense? Are you with me on that? So how you feel is more important than what you know. How you feel determines how much rejection you're going to take. Look, success is all about rejection. The more rejection you're willing to go through, the more junk and obstacles and dive in the trenches and getting bloodied and all that other stuff, is all based on how bad and how big your dreams are. So if you are so ambitious that all you want to do is pay your bills, you're really not going to go through a whole lot. You're not going to take a lot of rejection because all you want to do is pay your bills. On the other hand, if your dream, if your goal, if your desire is to have a multi-million dollar business, and it doesn't have to be a multi-million dollar business. Let's say that your goal is to have a successful business that allows you to live the lifestyle you want on your terms, then because that is something that motivates you, you're willing to go through a lot more rejection. You're going to be willing to go through a lot more obstacles. You're going to be willing to go through a lot more junk to make that happen. Does that make sense? And that all stems from the conversations in your head. So how you feel is more important than what you know. Remember that. There are a lot of smart people doing stupid things to their bodies because it makes them feel a certain way. Smoking, drugs, whatever. How you feel is more important than what you know. So if you wake up from a bad night's sleep, maybe the first thoughts in your head is, how can I get myself wired, right? I need some caffeine. I got to get jacked up. You know, I am too motivated and I have too many things to do to deal with low energy right now. Because you have big goals, because you got to run your business, because you become unstoppable. On the other hand, you wake up from a bad night's sleep and maybe you're thinking to yourself, oh, this is going to be a bad day. I can just feel it. I'm already running late. I have no energy. I feel tired and depressed. It's the same day, people. But how you feel determines what you're going to do. How you feel determines if you're going to pick up that phone call one more time and call another prospect. And call another prospect. And call another prospect. And I'm telling you, it has a lot to do with what you say to yourself and how big your goals are. Big goals require big actions, and you're willing to go through a lot more junk and take a lot more rejection and take a lot more hits because your dreams or your goals are so ambitious, so audacious. They scare you a little bit and they excite you a lot. And I'm also a big believer, by the way, that a lot of reasons that people give up on their goals is because they're so crappy, right? I mean, if your goal, again, is to pay your bills, that's kind of like an automatic, right? That's like saying, hey, tomorrow I want to be able to breathe. It's on automatic. But if your biggest goal is to pay your bills, I guarantee you that's exactly that's what you're going to do. You're going to pay your bills. If your goal is to create a business that you can be proud of, that gives you a lifestyle, time freedom, lets you invest in other things like real estate, retirement, travel, experiences, then you'll make that happen. All right. Speaking of making things happen, we're going to make a commercial break happen, and then we'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Caller Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Then let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
All righty, we are back. My next guest, Andrea Stenberg. Andrea Stenberg is a social media marketing consultant and coach. Andrea helps baby boomer entrepreneurs, consultant coaches, and service professionals to stand out in a crowded marketplace, position themselves as experts to get clients calling them using LinkedIn and other online marketing tools. For over 10 years, Andrea had brought her working knowledge of social media to help her clients navigate the social media waters with better results in less time. Andrea Stenberg, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thanks for having me, Bert.
You bet. All right, so, you know, walk me through this. How does using social media help a business professional stand out from the heavy, competitive, crowded place that most of us are in?
Well, there's three main ways that social media can really help a business person stand out from the crowd. So the first thing, it goes back to an old marketing adage, the rule of seven, which says people need to hear your marketing message seven times before it even registers. Now consider the rule of seven probably, you know, came about when there was maybe, you know, radio, maybe television, and a little bit of, you know, in print. Today, it's probably more likely the rule of seven. We're so inundated with marketing messages that most people have a really well-developed advertising filter. When they see something that looks like an ad, they block it out of their mind. So by using social media and to be sharing information and content that doesn't look and sound like an advertisement, you have the opportunity to get in front of your potential clients on a regular basis, more often when their filters are a little bit lower because they're not going, oh, this is an ad, I must ignore it. So that's one way that it helps you be seen. The other thing that social media does is gives you the opportunity to position yourself as an expert, particularly if you are selling, you know, your service, your expertise, it's a high ticket item. People need to have a level of trust before they're even going to pick up the phone or send you an email. And social media lets you do that by sharing your knowledge, sharing your expertise, showing people that you actually are a subject matter expert in your field, and doing it all for free. It gives people the sense, wow, if this is what this person is sharing with me for nothing, what are they going to do when I pull out my wallet? So it really gives you a chance to let people know that you are very knowledgeable. The third thing social media does is really helps with SEO, search engine optimization, which is basically geek talk for getting found on Google. You know, there are, by posting and linking back to your website, you can really increase your ranking in Google searches. For example, I routinely will go through my Google Analytics and look at blog posts that are doing well. So blog posts that I've written on my blog that are getting lots of traffic, and then I reprint them on my LinkedIn profile. And usually within a week, that particular post on my LinkedIn profile is showing up on page one of Google, even though it was already doing well on my blog. So it really helps you get found.
Gotcha. Now, what do you say to people and say, you know, geez, that seems like a lot of work. I just want to sell something. I just want people to buy my stuff. And it seems like doing all that posting and it's just a lot of work for nothing.
Well, that's a big mistake a lot of entrepreneurs make on social media, is that they just jump on and start posting without having any kind of strategy in place and or even knowing what their goals are. Because it's really easy to get on Facebook and make a post, but you have to kind of step back a little bit and think about what's your strategy and what's your goal. So, you know, if you're a consultant, odds are if you make a post on Facebook, somebody sees it, they're not going to immediately go, I want to be a customer. I mean, occasionally it might happen, but for the most part, no, it's a process. Just like if you hand out your business card at a networking event, somebody's not going to immediately go, oh, here, let me give you $1,000, let me hire you. There's a process. So you have to think about what's your sales process, what steps does somebody have to go through in order to turn into a customer. So your goal on social media is often, maybe the first thing is to just get on somebody's radar. Your next goal may be, you know, do I want somebody to sign up for an email newsletter so that I can continue to keep in touch with them? Do I want them to set up an initial consultation? If you have a bricks and mortar business, how can you entice them to come into your store or pick up, you know, what can you do to get people to phone you? So that's the first step, is figure out what your goal is and then use your posting and your activities to drive people towards that goal. And, you know, just like any other marketing activity, it's not going to be instantaneous. Social media is not a get-rich-quick strategy, but it can be part of your overall marketing strategy and increase the number of people that you talk to.
Gotcha. You know what, and I'm a big believer in the rule of seven in advertising. I think a lot of people misstep that it is about constant exposure. And sometimes that is using, you know, pay-per-click, direct mail, social media. And I like what you said there about using it strategically. You just can't sit there and start posting pictures of cats, and then people are going to jump on you and say, oh, yeah, you know, let's do business with Bert. No, it's got to be strategic. Hey, this is who I am. This is what I do. Here's some valuable information. Because just like at a networking event, to use your analogy, you can't go to a networking event and say, hey, buy my stuff. Hey, Andrea, good to meet you. Buy my stuff. That's not going to work. That's going to put everybody off. But if you go to a networking event, you build a relationship, sooner or later the question's asked, what do you do? Then you're able to explain to them what you do, how you help companies, and maybe from there there's a there's an ROI, for lack of better terms. What I have found is that 97% of the people are not going to buy from you right now. That means that only 3%, and I want to get your opinion on this, 2 to 3 to maybe 4% are ready to buy now. The other 97-96% are really going to need some nurturing. They need to know who you are before they pull that trigger.
Absolutely. And even just, you know, look at your own buying habits online. I know there are, you know, services that I've purchased online that it's taken me months, or in some cases years, of seeing what somebody is posting, seeing their information before I feel ready to say, you know what, I trust that this person knows what they're talking about. I'm going to take the next step. And so it is a long-term strategy, but you need to have the strategy. And that is the tricky thing. But it's, you know, it could be a really powerful part of your sales and marketing process if you're doing it correctly.
Yeah, absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Now, let me ask you this. I know you've probably been asked this question a whole lot, is how do I track my ROI, or what's the ROI of social media? Give me your thoughts on that.
Well, I mean, there's sort of two sides to it. On one side, just, you know, getting awareness, it's, you know, it's a little bit hard to track. But on the other hand, if you have a process of, okay, I'm going to try to move people, you know, to have an initial consultation, you can start tracking and seeing where they're coming from. Or if you're trying to get people to your website first and then maybe get them onto your email newsletter, you can, if you have Google Analytics set up, you can absolutely see, I've got so many people coming to my website from Facebook, so many coming from Pinterest, so many coming from LinkedIn. You can absolutely see that. You know, if people are calling you, maybe you've got a setup on your Instagram profile that somebody can click a button and instantly call you from their mobile device. You can track those numbers. Some of it is kind of soft numbers. Like, you know, you can ask, what's your ROI of having a telephone? Well, you know, not every incoming call is a sales call, but you can't do business without a phone. And social media is becoming right. The same sort of way. You can't do business without some social media presence. And also, depending on who your target audience is, I have clients who routinely contact me through Facebook Messenger. They don't text me, they don't phone, they don't email, they use Facebook Messenger. I have other clients who only contact me through LinkedIn. So you have to kind of be aware your clients are and be willing to communicate with them in the way that they want to. And so, you know, by somebody sending me a Facebook Messenger, it's not always going to result in an ROI, but it's part of the communication process.
Yeah, I like that so much, because not everything is ROI-able. I mean, look, you write a book and, you know, I think they say the average person sells about 200 or 300 books. That's most likely is a negative ROI. But let's just say you sell 1,000 books, and that's great. But that's not the real ROI of a book. Now the ROI of a book is that you can say, hey, I'm a writer. Hey, I've written a book on that subject. People perceive you differently. I was having a discussion the other day, and the gentleman was telling their story that here they were, they had worked around this individual, and when he found out that this individual had written not one but two different books on the subject matter, his value in his eyes went up. His esteem for this gentleman that he had worked around with for 2 or 3 or 4 years had gone up because he had written a couple of books about it. He was a true subject matter expert. There's not necessarily an ROI for that, and people don't walk up to you and say, hey, you know what, because I read your book or because I saw that you've written a book, I esteem you higher. But that's really what's happening.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's the same with social media. If you're posting lots of content that's educational and interesting and valuable to your clients, and it's everywhere, like, if, you know, I've often had people say to me, Andrea, you're everywhere online. And it's like, good, that's what I was trying for. But, you know, it doesn't necessarily give me an exact dollar value for each post, but it's the overall impression that people have of you and the overall traffic that's coming in. And then the other thing with social media is, if you don't have a sales process to support your marketing, you're not going to get the ROI either. So you have to have the sales chops as well as the social media chops.
Yeah, yeah. And you call, what is it? This brings up another question. Here you are, you're all over the place. People see you, as you just said, they see you everywhere. So how do I do that without spending 40 hours a week on social media?
Well, the first thing you have to do is make a decision. How much time am I going to invest in my online marketing? And, you know, is it 2 hours a week, 3 hours a week, 10 hours a week, whatever it is, you know, and some of it will depend on how busy you are and how busy you want to be. But you figure out your time and then schedule it in your calendar and say, okay, if you've got 3 hours a week, maybe you're going to spend Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 3 to 4 working on social media. And then, you know, set a timer for yourself and have, you know, you've got your goal, you've got your strategy, and then work the strategy and do it consistently and be focused so that you're not looking at cat videos and, you know, posting pictures of your dinner, but you're focusing on your marketing strategy. And when that time is up, so, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, I like that.
The other thing is, you're just, you know, it's far better to be consistent on one or two platforms than to be everywhere but not actually doing anything. You know, get really good at one or two before you add something else. So, you know, if Facebook is your marketing platform of choice, make sure you're really good at that before you start going to Pinterest and Instagram and LinkedIn. I'm on, you know, just about every social media platform because that's my business. I have to know them. But nobody should be on as many social media platforms as I am. The regular normal person should only be on a very small number because otherwise it will take up all your time.
Sure, sure. All right, so let me ask you this, because you mentioned something earlier, and I want to come back to that. At the top of the segment, you were talking about you took a blog post and you ended up putting it on LinkedIn. You know, kind of you repurpose that content. Is that something that you counsel or consult with your clients to do? Take this blog, put it on LinkedIn, maybe take that LinkedIn article now and maybe do something else with it, repurposing the content. Are you a big proponent of that?
Absolutely, because creating content takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of energy, it takes a lot of mental energy. So if you've created something that's really good quality that your potential customers are going to be interested in, then absolutely, it's a lot easier to take it and spread it around. So if you've created a great blog post, you know, can you chop it up into 10 or 15 tweets and put them on Twitter and schedule them out over the next few weeks and have them with a link back to your original blog post? You know, can you turn it into a podcast or a video or, you know, take all these things and put them in different mediums? Because odds are the person who saw it on your blog, you know, isn't necessarily going to see it on your Facebook or your LinkedIn. Like, nope, it's very rare that somebody's going to be so interested in what you're doing that they're looking at everything. So, you know, you don't have to worry about kind of oversaturating the market. But if you put it in the same piece of content multiple ways, multiple platforms, you'll get people in the format that they prefer. Some people prefer to read text. Some people prefer video. Some people prefer images. So absolutely, repurposing is the best way to save yourself time.
Yeah, I like that so much. And the other thing is, because depending on how many people your people are following, right? If they're only following 3 or 4 people, then they probably will see your post and be able to read it. But if they're like most of us who are following hundreds, in some cases thousands, then the chances are you could repost content over and over again and actually have a different audience see it depending on when that content is posted.
Yeah, absolutely. And also depending on the platform, like Twitter is kind of a very instantaneous, instant gratification platform. So, you know, it's absolutely perfectly fine if you've got a blog post is to share it 10, 15, 20 times over the next month at different days and different times, because people who are logging in Monday morning at 9 o'clock are probably not the same people who are logging in Friday at midnight. So yeah, spreading it around. Nope, very few people are going to see everything you're posting.
Right.
Probably your mother.
Well, and I have. And gets it. And yeah, absolutely. Maybe. You know, and I've seen people, they will, a perfect example. I was interviewed for a Forbes article, and this gentleman who interviewed me reposted that article. I think at the very beginning, he was reposting that article five or six times a day throughout the day. He did that for the first several weeks, and then he slowed down to like three times a day, and then you know, but he still, as of last week, was reposting it maybe just once or twice a week. And I kind of learned a lot from that. Now, this was Twitter, and he has a fairly large following, but it was interesting to just see how he did that, right? And so I learned a lot from watching this guy repost. And like I said, the first week he was hitting it hard, four, five, six times a day, as you said, different times, right? Early in the morning all the way to late in the evening, because it's a different audience. And somebody may see that posting, and maybe it's not the right time for them to click on it, but then they see it again, you know, a few hours later or the next day, and they go, oh yeah, I wanted to find out what this is about, and they click on it that time. So that you just never know what's happening in your audience at the time that you post.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also worthwhile if you have, you know, as I said, I go and look at my Google Analytics and see which blog posts are still performing well. And then I may go back months later and reshare them in different platforms, because if they're still doing well, obviously there's an interest or a need in that particular topic. And so, so you can get new traffic, new visitors without having to create a whole new piece of content.
Right, right. I like that. And I think the thing that you said it a couple of times, so I'm just going to repeat it. Repost it, if you will, and that is you got to track to see where the traffic's coming from, who's doing well. You know, one of the great things on Twitter right now, and Facebook does the same thing, is and LinkedIn does the same thing. You can see how many people like it, how many impressions, what kind of reactions you're getting, and you can see what posts are doing really well. Not to mention it, as you suggested, use your Google Analytics. And if you don't know how to do that, maybe find somebody who can teach you or do it for you. But if you want to track your traffic, then that's the way to do it. You have to measure what's happening. Otherwise, you're going to give up on it if you don't see any results.
Yeah, and then, you know, like in your Facebook page, you can absolutely see which posts do well, you know, which ones got lots of engagement. And then you need to do a little deeper analysis and say, okay, is it the type of post? Is it the content? Is it the picture? Is it the time of day that I posted? And do some experimenting too and say, okay, if I do more of these type of posts, do they all get more engagement? Or if I do more at this time of day, do I get more engagement? Or if I use different images, what works, what doesn't? It's, you know, there is a certain amount of trial and error, because each audience is different. But once, you know, if you keep an eye on trends and what's working and what's not, you know, you can really get great results. You know, for example, on Facebook, depending on who your audience is, some people are on, you know, Saturday mornings. Other people are on at work.
Yes.
And so 9 to 5 is a good time. Other people are on late at night. So you really have to see who is your audience and when they're online.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. All right, so let's talk about this. If somebody's listening to this and, you know, they're now finally motivated, I'm going to start doing social media, where do they start? How do they get started?
If somebody that's absolutely brand new, you first of all, I'd say pick one. If you try to do too many, you're going to be overwhelmed. So pick one. Odds are, if you're brand new, odds are your customers are going to be on Facebook, because Facebook is the big monster of social media. Everybody is on Facebook. However, you would rather have a root canal than go on Facebook, then don't start there, because that you're not going to be consistent, you're not going to work at it, you're not going to get results. If you're selling products or services to other businesses, LinkedIn is probably the place to start. So odds are it's Facebook or LinkedIn. If you have an existing business and you haven't got started on social media, talk to your customers and find out where they're engaging on social media. Where do they go to get information? Where do they go to learn about their industry or about the products and services they need? Because maybe you'll get surprised as to where they are or where they're spending their time. And I would say this, but if you're, you know, if you're really not sure, you or you're just new, I would say LinkedIn or Facebook is probably one of those two is going to work for you, because those are kind of the two big ones for engaging with people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love LinkedIn. I think that LinkedIn is probably better for people who are looking to work with more professionals. Not saying that you don't find professionals on Facebook, but I think the mindset is different. I look at LinkedIn as a professional networking event, where I look at Facebook as a social gathering. You're gonna find some overlap there. Jim Bob, the professional, is going to be on LinkedIn, and he'll probably also be on Facebook. But maybe during the day he's more on LinkedIn, and at night he's more on Facebook, kind of like what you were talking about.
Yeah, so you have to figure out where your customers are, where they want to engage with you, and ultimately is, you know, if you're really struggling, like don't spend weeks and weeks trying to figure out where to go. Is pick one and test it out, try it, you know, jump in, and you know, you're going to get, if you're on Facebook, even if your customers are business owners or business professionals, so they're on Facebook too, and if you work at it, you will get results. You may, you know, LinkedIn may be better for that audience, but it's, you know, really who your customers are and also where you're going to be comfortable. If LinkedIn is intimidating or overwhelming to you, maybe Facebook is more comfortable because you've already been on there for your personal, so you know how it works. But, you know, it's not rocket science. It's, you know, it's more about being consistent, having a strategy, and just, you know, keep working it.
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, the key is keep working it. That consistency is key. Like a lot of things in life, you just can't do it one time. So let me ask you this. Somebody, you post something, and how do you deal with, let's say, critics or haters, whatever you want to call them, you know, because ultimately I think the fear that we all have is that I'm not good enough. I'm an imposter. I feel as though I'm an imposter. What if I post something out there, nobody likes it, you know, so how would you help somebody get over that?
Well, unless you are a really large presence online, so you're, you know, kind of an internet celebrity, or you're a really large brand, or, you know, you're United Airlines, odds are you're not going to get those kind of internet trolls that you hear about that are, you know, kind of going and attacking people. So you don't have to worry about that. Your biggest problem is, you know, nobody seeing what you're posting, rather than having somebody troll you. You know, and there are mechanisms in place. If somebody is posting something inappropriate or abusive, there are mechanisms on most of the social platforms where you can block them or report them. But I've been online for 10 years now. I am posting everywhere, and the number of times that I've had anything that's even the slightest bit untoward, I can count on one hand. And nobody in your audience is going to be doing as much as I am. So if I've had so few, you know, unfortunate situations, the average person is really not likely to get very much. And if there is, block that person, report them to the platform, you know, go from there. If it's a legitimate complaint, like somebody, you know, has a legitimate complaint about you, address it. The same as if they wrote you a letter or gave you a phone call, is deal with it. You know, then you can potentially turn somebody from a critic to a raving fan by fixing the problem and treating them well.
And you know what? I'm glad you make that distinction, because look, everybody in business is going to make mistakes. You know, it's very difficult to have 100% of your customers 100% happy with you 100% of the time, unless you essentially have, you know, very little customers, which that's a different problem for a different conversation. But bottom line is, I agree with what you're saying there. You put yourself out there, you put out good value. You may have somebody who disagrees. Excuse me. I hit the cough button. So you have somebody that maybe has a complaint about service that they received. That's an opportunity for you to publicly clean it up, let people see how you handle that. That is a great way to build your brand reputation. I think that if somebody maybe disagrees with you, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Again, it's an opportunity for you to engage with them. And there's a difference, Andrea, and you correct me if I'm wrong, between somebody that maybe has a different point of view and is cordially disagreeing with you versus a troll. And trolls come out in different ways. You know, sometimes a troll will see that you're getting a lot of views and a lot of comments, and all of a sudden they start spamming, you know, everybody on there. That's one way that trolls abuse you. Another way is that they just flame. I mean, they just start, you know, maybe they start attacking your industry or attacking you for no real reason. That's different than somebody who may come out and say, hey, I disagree with this. I think this one's better. Again, it all depends on the tonality. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, having somebody who legitimately has a difference of opinion and is sharing it in a constructive and respectful way can actually be really helpful, because it can start a conversation happening. It can help you attract more of your ideal clients, because people who look at your opinion and what you have to say and are agree with that are going to, know a little bit more about you and see that you stand, firm for what you believe in. So it can be really helpful. Plus, it can get, other people engaging in the conversation. And, if you have people who are interacting with you and talking with you, it's much better than having somebody just passively reading what you have to say, because it's sort of moving them along that process to getting them to where they can become a customer. So anything you can do to encourage people to interact and engage, ask questions, make comments, as long as it's respectful, is fabulous. And if somebody disagrees, but they're respectful about it, that's awesome, because that gets the engagement happening.
Absolutely, absolutely. I love that. Andrea, I want to say thank you so much for stopping by. The information has been incredible. I hope that people have taken some notes or will listen to this podcast over and over again and just put some of the stuff into use. It's not, like you said, it's not brain science, though. What is it? Brain surgery? Rocket science? I forgot what you said already. Anyway, it's not rocket science, right? It's not the hardest thing in the world. I think the biggest thing for most of us is just the fear of, what are people going to say? Is nobody going to read my stuff? And guess what? Maybe the first time you post something, it's going to get very little activity because it's the first time you're stepping out there. But as you post the fifth time, the 10th time, the 20th time, you'll see your activity step up. And, again, it's just delivering that value, getting your audience to get to know you. It's really what it's all about. And it's as Andrea said, you have to have a strategy. If you want to know more about Andrea and her team, Andrea, where do they go? What's your website?
My website is thebabyboomerentrepreneur.com, and you can find ways to contact me, see my blog, see all my latest articles, and you can also find me on all the social networks. Just search for Andrea Stenberg on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook. I'm there, but my main home on the web is thebabyboomerentrepreneur.com.
Thebabyboomerentrepreneur.com. Andrea Stenberg, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having me and giving me a chance to talk about social media.
You bet. Good stuff there from Andrea Stenberg, thebabyboomerentrepreneur.com, talking about social media, how you can use it to expand and grow your business, your presence. It's an amazing thing. One of the other things that we did that really I forgot to bring up, but this is one of the advantages to social media. Once you're out there and people, and Andrea talked about this, people will find you easier, but this is what happens. if you're using marketing, if you're using direct response type marketing, people will see that. They may see your ad, and then they may Google you and see what else you have out there. It will make your marketing work that more effectively because, as Andrea said, you know, you start to be seen as an expert. You're starting to be seen everywhere, right? So if you're on LinkedIn, Facebook, maybe Twitter, if those are appropriate for you, then go for it and don't worry about the critics because people will criticize you whether you do something or whether you don't. So you might as well do something and live a happier life. As always, we're grateful for you here. And as always, I need you to go to youtube.com/Burt J. Martinez, youtube.com, join my Facebook party there. Yeah, I just uploaded a new video. It's about how to get rich being you. So check it out. It's gotten a lot of comments and views already. It may be something that will help you. And as always, it's free. And as always, remember you. We're created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch and check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.